You tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament this morning. We welcome you to our church service on this day, which is a Life Sunday that we celebrate today. And we welcome those who are tuning in on the radio this morning. As we celebrate Life Sunday, of course, we'll be remembering that God is the one who gives life, and our Lord Jesus has given that gift to us, and we're thankful for it, but we also respect it as he gives it to others as well. And we rejoice together this morning in his gift of life, even within the life he's given to the church on earth, a life of his own spirit. And this morning, our opening hymn for our service is hymn 644, The Church's One Foundation. We do invite the congregation gathered here, if you're able, to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning as we sing, and we'll join together in singing our hymn. Thanks for being here this morning. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our versicles on page 3 in your bulletin. O Lord, open my lips. Glory to God, our light and our life. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing. This morning we have the opportunity of praying together in unison one of the Psalms. This is Psalm 27. It's a blessing for us to use the Psalms in this way, especially when we don't quite know the words that we want to pray. We have the blessing of praying back to God His own word to us, which He's given us. And together we get to do that this morning to Psalm 27. So we invite you to pray in unison according to that. Let us pray. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, God, my salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading this morning for our Life Sunday celebration and the third Sunday in Epiphany comes from Isaiah's prophecy in the 9th chapter. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now for our reading of the Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel in the 4th chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please be seated. This time we invite you to join us in singing our hymn of the day for today. That's 839 in your hymnal. O Christ, our true and only light. Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, you've probably got it there in your bulletin. If you want to look at it, feel free. But we heard that as believers in Christ, we have in every way been enriched in him. And later in the reading, if you look below there in verses 6 and 7, that his testimony is confirmed in us and that we are not lacking in any gift in Christ Jesus. Not lacking in any gift. Now recall, this letter of 1 Corinthians is a letter to the whole church, not just in Corinth, but in all places. But it was penned to Corinth. It was sent to a group, a whole group of people within the church, our variety of gifts. And these gifts that God gives are within us all as God wills. So if all gifts, if every gift is present among believers gathered in Christ's church, that simply means that together we can accomplish anything according to the will of God. But what does that mean, that we could accomplish anything? Because sometimes as Christians, we feel like we don't have much for gifts. can feel like we're struggling at what God has for us to do. And even at times, the world around us looks like maybe it's winning the battle. Let me give you an example of what it means that we have every gift together. This is just one. Forgiving each other. How often do we feel like we have the gifts to accomplish that? Forgiving, I mean. How often does it feel impossible to you to forgive someone that's hurt you? Later in our reading, the apostle writes in verse 11, "For it has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you, my brothers." Even in the great church of Corinth that received this letter penned by the Spirit himself through the hands of the apostle Paul, even in a church that has every gift, there's problems. There were still arguments among the believers, quarrels, dangerous disagreements and offenses that were taking place. And Paul said that they had every gift, but what did they struggle to do in Corinth? Forgive each other. This morning I'd like to briefly discuss with you most often why this is the case, especially within churches. And I'd like to add a disclaimer to my sermon, if you'll grace me with that. I didn't write this sermon because of problems in this church. I know that's an easy assumption to make when you're listening to the preacher talk about forgiving each other, but that wasn't why I wrote it. This church is amazing, and it's beautiful, and I love it. Christ has woven us together himself. So hear this sermon more like you would go get your oil changed in your car, right? More like preventative maintenance, I guess. Right? We don't want things to go wrong with the engine in our car, so we take care of it. Okay? So, or maybe like a trip to the doctor, you know, when you're not feeling sick, but you're just going to go get a checkup, because that's a good thing to do. So kind of hear this sermon that way. That's my disclaimer. In a church, there's unspoken promises that are made all the time among the believers together. The fact that you're here this morning, it speaks volumes to the people around you, to your brothers and sisters, and your presence speaks louder than words. That's just the way it works. Your devotion to Jesus, your faith in him, says to others simply this: I can trust that person to be kind and understanding, slow to anger, forgiving towards me. We trust our fellow churchgoers. That's just how it works. Often just because they go to church with us. So when someone makes a mistake in a church, we expect it to be handled in Christian love, with patience and kindness, the gifts of the Spirit. But it's so often not handled that way in churches. It's often dealt, even in Christ's church, with harsh, quick character judgments, gossip, and severely destructive lacks of communication. Offended silence is often the medication in which an offended brother or sister prescribes for themselves. Offended silence. Even though our Lord says very clearly in Matthew chapter 18, if your brother or sister sins against you, you should go to them. You should go to them and tell them their fault. And if they ask you to forgive them, you must. You must. And you've gained your brother or sister back. In that scenario, you've gained them back. There was division, and now it's not there anymore. And even though he gives his church these simple instructions, this prescription, we don't want to take his medicine. So many times, we just don't listen to Jesus. Even though within the church, as Paul was saying in our epistle lesson, is every gift, so that we together can accomplish anything. We can handle anything. We instead, when we're offended, we weigh the offense that we perceive within ourselves, and for the sake of not wanting to cause a problem, even though there's already one there, or make an issue, or in order to protect ourselves simply from the discomfort of having to go tell someone that they hurt us, we selfishly keep silent. Or we tell everybody else, except for the person Jesus tells us to tell, that we're hurt. Which makes it worse. That's where the gossip comes from. What happens from that point is the hurt or offense starts to fester within us and poisons us from the inside out. It's like we don't trust that in the church is every gift. We don't believe that or something. And those gifts that exist there will provide reconciliation and the things that we need. So we keep silent about the offense, and soon it infects us with hatred and anger and disdain towards fellow believers. Then if it does finally come out that we're hurt, oh man, you better watch out, right? You better stand back, because it's going to be ba-boom and fireworks when it comes out. Think of it like concrete. When you first pour concrete, or when the offense first takes place, the concrete's fresh. It's easily moved with a shovel from one place to another. But if you wait, it gets hard and harder and harder. Pretty soon the shovel will only skim the top of that stuff. It won't go down in it at all. It's just like that with our hearts. But pretty soon it'll take a jackhammer and heavy equipment of God's word to move the concrete that you let get hard. And there'll always be a pile of rubble somewhere after that, right? It's so dangerous not to listen to Jesus, not to trust the gifts that he's placed within the church, within the whole body of Christ. If we get offended and don't speak up and follow our Lord's commands, I gotta say that one more time. If we get hurt, remember this is preventative maintenance, right? So don't feel like it's not what it is. It's preventative. Change, you know, oil change stuff. If we get hurt and we're not willing to go and tell the person that hurt us what Jesus tells us to tell them, right? If we're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to do that, or if I'm not willing to do that, that makes us the problem. Not the person who hurt us. Okay? See what I'm saying? Huge point. If you won't speak up, all of a sudden, you become the problem. Okay? It's very important. Huge. We all make mistakes. Pastors too, of course. And if the infection or the offense gets too bad and we allow that concrete to harden, it will end up, guess what, in a separation from the body. That's what will have to take place. It'll have to be amputated off. And it isn't pretty. It's kind of like ice. I mean, it's cold outside, right? Have you ever left like a soda pop in your truck overnight or your car? You think, oh, no, it's fine. No big deal. I'll bring that in later. Next morning you go out, boom, soda pops everywhere. It's all over the dash. It's all over the window. It's a mess to clean that up. It's terrible. It'll freeze and expand and shatter. People walk away from the church never to return. That happens. Where unspoken promises exist, that separation, and if you've been through this before, brothers and sisters in a congregation, you know it feels like a divorce almost. It's terrible. It hurts. Nothing good there. And our Lord gives us simple instructions that are preventative for this issue on how to avoid it, how to pick up our cross daily and follow him, how to deal with this stuff. We just gotta not be chickens and go tell people if they hurt us. And then we have to forgive them because we have that gift. It was given to us in our baptism. Hold on a second. This is what we hear quite often. Pastor, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. I just can't confront somebody who hurt me like that. Or worse, I just can't find the feeling of forgiveness in my heart. I can't forgive them. This is an important preventative maintenance topic, okay? Feelings. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus actually doesn't anywhere in the Bible command us to feel feelings of forgiveness. He doesn't. He commands us to forgive. Where did we ever get the idea that we had to feel feelings of forgiveness before we could listen to our Lord's command? Who came up with that garbage? I'd like to know. And that's not the Bible. He commands us to forgive like a king commands a servant. He says it this way, it comes across kind of harsh, but if you do not forgive those who sinned against you, he says, well, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. It's not really a threat, though. It sounds like a threat when he says it that way, right? Like, oh boy, you're going to be in deep trouble if you don't forgive the sins. But it's not. Because of what we're talking about this morning, the concrete will harden and the poison will be released and we'll end up walking away from his forgiveness because of the unforgiveness within us. We won't even want it. We'll say it's useless. Here's a helpful analogy, if you're willing to bear with me this morning, for our feelings. It's a good analogy, I think. Feelings are like gauges on the dashboard of your vehicle. Okay, feelings let us know what's going on under the hood. Okay, we want to do some preventative maintenance and check on, keep things running right, right? Gauges are important parts of that. If there's something wrong under the hood, the gauge is going to show it, right? It's got little needles on it, right? You got a heat gauge and an oil pressure gauge and a voltage gauge. And those needles are going to give you information about what's going on. They're going to tell you, those are like our feelings, okay? They tell us when something's not right. The problem is so often that when the feelings and the gauges start to peak. Quick story. Driving up the pass between Creed and Lake City. Have you ever been up there? Slumgullion Pass. Now this thing's a doozy, let me tell you. Curves, steep, steep, steep. Patricia and the kids and I are driving up last July to the family reunion. And what's dad got to do but, you know, get there as fast as they can? Even though I had a camper behind the truck. And so I had the pedal to the metal. And I was going up that hill. And the truck was doing great. I was like, oh, heck yeah, man, we're cruising. We're cruising up this hill. Watch this thing pull this camper. I can pull it. Except for that transmission oil pressure heat gauge. Or the oil heat gauge in my transmission. It was climbing. And I thought, oh, I probably better check that, you know. So I flipped over to the little screen that showed it. Oh, it was climbing. It got hot. It got real hot. It got 180. I started getting nervous when I saw 180, but I'm like, we're cool still. It got to 190. I started getting more nervous. When it got to 200, I was freaking out. Like, oh no, and the truck will shut off, you know, if it gets too hot, but still, it was scary. The gauge had a lot of power over me. Yeah, so do our feelings. But here's the thing to remember about feelings. It's just like those gauges. You can't follow the arrow on those gauges to your destination. We can't do it. I try to imagine in my mind somebody trying to follow their oil pressure gauge arrow like it was a compass or something. All you're going to do is drive right into the ditch, right off the road, right into the cavern or the ravine, and end up in a wreck. You have a GPS maybe on your phone. Or your dash, that's your guidance system. I like this dorky acronym, okay? GPS, God's Perfect Scriptures. That's our guidance system, not our feelings. say that seriously because I'm talking to myself too. Not our feelings. We gotta quit following our feelings around as if they're gonna guide us. You know where they'll guide us to? That's not what we want to talk about this morning. God's perfect scripture guides us. His way, the good way. But it makes people feel really powerful to be sinned against. And that's the reason that we often don't go work it out with our neighbor, because it gives us some sort of sense of strength to be in the victim seat. Now, this is growing in our culture like crazy right now. Victimization and the power that comes to it. It makes them feel like they have the upper hand over their neighbor. And that they foolishly think that they can bear the offense, okay? That they can bear it themselves and not speak up, and it'll be okay. But it doesn't give anyone the upper hand. It lowers them down, and believe it or not, to the level of idolatry. Why? Because our Lord Jesus went to the cross, and when he did, he took every single offense, every little bitty one, and he killed it. He bore all the sins of the world. That means a lot to say that. He took every sin up there and pounded it to that cross, and he killed it so that we would be free to forgive one another. But look, we want to hold on to those things. That's idolatry. It's a move at being God. It's a breaking of the first commandment. Jesus didn't just forgive you all your sins and me. He did that this morning. You sit there, I stand up here, completely forgiven. Anything that comes into your mind that says you're not needs to be cast out. Because the ultimate authority in the universe said you were forgiven. You're clear, you're good, you're in the clean. It's beautiful stuff. Gorgeous stuff. But he also gave us the gift of forgiveness so that we'll share it with each other. Not just to keep for ourselves, but to give it to others. It's a part of every gift in the church. And it's a tool, too, for the sake of the neighbor. Within Christ's church is every single gift. From his word, every gift. You gotta trust it. You have what you need to go about this selfless task of going to the person that's hurt you and telling them that they did. And it's not weakness to do that. It's true strength to be able to tell them that. Our Lord went to the cross to give you that strength. And me. And he rose from the dead and sent his Spirit to help us. And for this reason, the Bible will call us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's in the book of Romans. But that letter to Rome was also written to a whole group of people. Together, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Together, we need each other. That text gets over-individualized more than any text I can think of. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus as his church. Together, and we need each other, and he keeps us together with his gifts. Well, what are we conquerors of, real quick? I'm almost done. What are we conquerors of? This exact problem. This one. Unforgiveness. Silent offense. As he gives us the gifts and the tools that we need, we're conquerors of what Paul was speaking to the Corinthians about. Conquerors of the offenses and the divisions and the quarrels that they cause. And this is why Jesus goes to the cross, to take all those things so that we can remain united together. If somebody sinned against you, like I said, everything up to this point was preventative maintenance kind of stuff. But if anybody has sinned against you, remember this, Jesus took it on himself to the cross. And it died there. And if you're still holding on to it, it's really out of place. And if you've sinned against someone else, Jesus hung that on the cross too. And it died there. So we can go and we can communicate and make peace. And he sent you a pastor. So if you feel like you can't go tell somebody something that you need to tell them, that's why you call me. I'm up here, see me? Here I am. Call me. We go together. I'll help as much as I can to be your servant in those things. Together we have every gift. Together we can accomplish anything. We have the power to defeat anything that would come against Jesus' bride, his church. And don't think he won't protect her. Don't even think it. He will. And he is. Because it's precious to him. You are precious to him. He will fight for you. And he'll fight against anything that tries to divide his church. Because he died for us and he gives us his forgiveness so that we can live guilt-free and share it with others. And know this morning that every single sin died on the cross with Jesus. Every single one. This is true. I'm not going to say anything about this for time's sake. But this is true in our Christian homes as well. Exactly the same. Know it. Remember it and be sure of it. Because we have the power to overcome because Jesus died for us in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our confession of faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, our Lord gives us an opportunity to return to him a portion of the things that he's blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented, we'll have our organist playing an instrumental piece, and I will say a prayer for the offering up here on the altar. During that, a silent prayer to myself and to the Lord. But I did want to tell you this morning what I usually say. And what I usually say is, you know, thank you, Lord, for these gifts. May they be used so that other people will know that you love them and that you died for them. That's our prayer for our offering this morning. Let's sing together, or let's listen to our organist as he plays our instrumental and we give. We now come to the time in our service where we gather together in the prayer of the church. Would you join us in prayer? Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and to govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love towards others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and the legislature of this state of Colorado, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. We name before you now those who have requested our prayers from the altar. Sandy Cody, the family of Bucky Clonch, the family and friends of Eric Melgoza, Carolyn Geary, the family of Jane Cohen, the family of Gary Ross, the family of Barry Gilbert, the family of Ann Stewart. We also name before you Mona Hauser, Billy Clonch and Missy, Don and Betty Iser, Dave Johnson, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, also on this Life Sunday, as we celebrate the gift of life, we pray for those who are in challenging circumstances regarding that gift of life. And we ask you to lead them and guide them according to your will. And we pray you protect the life you create. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your namesake, that they may receive and expect their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. And although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to the body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him and his kingdom. Bless this congregation this morning as they approach the sacraments of the altar, your son's own body and blood. May we all partake to our benefit. Lord, also bless those new to the faith, that they may learn from you what you would have them learn in preparation for this blessed meal. And bless all who gather here today by the power of your living word. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service and wish you the Lord's peace as you go about the rest of your day. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary with us today, we invite you to turn to page 11 in your bulletin, and if you'd please stand for our service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the
Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.